All right, guys, welcome to the Media Hijack Podcast. I'm your host, Billy Walters, and joining us is Chris Unholy Jesus.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, guys. Welcome back.
Welcome back to another episode of the Media Hijack, episode 132.
Let's go.
If you guys want to purchase some official Media Hijack t-shirts, head over to themediahijack.com. If you guys want to visit us on Reddit, you can join our Reddit community. And if you guys want to check out the replay for this live Twitch video, you can head over to our YouTube page. And if you're audio listeners on Apple, iTunes, and Spotify, don't forget to rate, comment, subscribe. Leave us a nice comment.
Please.
Leave a nice comment.
Hell yeah.
You guys want to know another fun fact?
Let's go.
I got another one. So, like, I was learning about bees and stuff, right? I was listening to Joe Rogan. He had a bee expert on the show. Mm-hmm. One thing that I learned from the whole show was that only the queen bee is allowed to take a shit inside the hive. Everybody else got shit outside.
I believe that.
That's cool, right?
They got their own structure, man. Bees are smart, man. Bees got a...
Yeah. And then, like, the regular soldier bees, they carry her shit and throw it outside.
What does bee shit look like? Is it like honey?
I don't know. Nuggets or something?
That just dawned on me, like bugs taking a shit. Like, I've seen ladybugs. I've had like you know, ladybugs land on you and they pee.
Ladybugs. It's like lucky.
That's my favorite insect, the ladybugs. Mm-hmm. They show up, they're like, hey, what's up? And they'll just walk around you and be chill and then fly away. They're not trying to bite. They're not trying to...
Yeah, when they fly on you, it's like a...
I think they like their tire, too.
Lucky.
Well, for us, it's luck. And I think in reality, like, I just need a place to chill.
Yeah.
This sometimes I'd be driving, I've seen like a ladybug on my head. I'm like,
damn, I'm like, lucky, hey, as fuck.
Okay, what's up, man?
Lucky as shit.
No, there was one time I rode a bike. I was a teenager riding a bike.
Damn.
And I was like talking to somebody and I was like, oh, what the fuck? And
in your mouth, a ladybug?
And I pulled out, it was a ladybug. It was still alive. And then it flew away. I was like, oh shit.
Holy shit.
Like, tell your friends.
Man, you're on God mode.
You flew in a man's mouth. Well, a teenager's mouth.
You're walking God right now, dude.
Oh, ladybugs love you. Have you ever seen the black and red ones?
Yeah.
The reverse color? It's like their shells are black,
but it's red dots. Yeah.
Those are the best ones. I've rarely seen them, but when you do, that's got to be like super luck or something.
I think only God eyes can see that, though.
Damn. I don't want to be no God.
Hey, we all gods.
We all are.
We're all a piece of God. Like, another crazy, like, thing, like, about bees. Like, you know, the queen bee, she decides when she wants to make another queen bee. Mm. But the hive, they decide as a community, like, when it's ready to have a new queen. Because they can smell the pheromones of the queen. Like she's deteriorating. She's about to die.
Yeah.
So then they all decide as a community, like, hey, queen bee, you gotta make birth to like a new queen. So she builds like a honeycomb, like a little bigger than what she would put like in a regular bee. Yeah, queen. For a big bee, because you know the queens, they're big.
Yeah, they're big as shit.
They're heavy set, you know, mm-hmm. Big bone.
You don't get the big old booty.
So she gotta make that honeycomb big enough to hold, you know,
the next
queen. Well, here's the crazy thing about this shit, because bees, they're super advanced, but they're fucking crazy savages too.
Really?
Like, yeah, because when the new queen is born, right, she still has to fight the queen bee for the throne.
They have to fight for it?
So they fight to the death.
But it's like Wakanda, man. What the fuck?
Straight up Wakanda shit. So they would fight to the death. And then let's say, for example, if the big queen take out that little queen, she still reigns until she give birth to the next queen. Right, and then they have to fight again. And then once they fight, and then, you know, the new queen bee whoop her ass and shit, she takes control of the hive. Yep. And then the new generation starts. Shit is sick.
I didn't know they got down like that. Because I watch some bee shit every now and again.
Real girls get down on the floor.
They're very like advanced. Like, it's like how ants are.
Yeah.
It's a society. Some real shit, man. I know we may not see it as much as humans, but... Oh, shit. But as a society, like they have like their own functioning system and
yeah, it's really it's interesting.
Yeah,
and then, like, other people were saying, like, it doesn't the 5G towers affect like how bees operate? They're like,
does it?
Like, we don't really know yet.
I was like, it might be too early, right? That's just 5G still new shit,
like,
man. That's
just, we don't only understand regular cell towers how they affect like insects.
Real shit, or or human bodies.
Yeah, like, what are the bees going to tell you? Like, hey, hello, leaders of Earth, your technology, you're fucking up everything for our, you know, like, our operation. Like, we're trying to, like, give you guys all these plants and, you know, pollinate all these plants for you guys, and you guys are fucking it up for us, making it harder.
I think the only thing fucking up nature is humans. It could be how we use fuel and shit.
So would you say, like, the best thing for Earth, period, is to just get rid of humans?
Yes. Me and my brother-in-law was having a deep conversation about that on a New Year's Eve.
We're the cancer to Earth.
He's like, we do so much. Or
we
much,
became that cancer.
Yes. There's other alternatives that we could take to make to clean this shit up, but the people of power, man, they want to hold on to, like, burning coal and shit. And
there's not enough good people in high positions.
Fracking, like, digging. Because at this part, what they've done, like, dug so deep into the Earth on this planet to where man is the reason why earthquakes are getting more frequent, because they're digging way too deep. Because they're already taking so much of the oil, and so they're going to keep digging deeper and deeper. But now they're hitting, like, a certain spot of the Earth where it's starting to irritate it.
It hit a nerve.
It's like hitting a nerve. Mm. And that's what's causing earthquakes now more and more with fracking. And so, like, earthquakes, they're saying, like, earthquakes are going to become more prevalent, like, I think in the Midwest in America. And
so Cali's going to break apart into the ocean.
Probably.
Like, hello, Hawaii.
I always imagine, like, if Cali would break apart in ocean, it won't be, like, a smooth break. Like, millions of people would get killed if that happened. Like, millions and millions of people would die.
Let it go.
I don't think it would be, like, as smooth as, like,
let it go,
breaking off a piece of a cookie. We got to do better. As humans, we got to do better. Because, man, this is the only world we got, man. This is all we have. That's like with William Shatner from the TV show Star Trek, the OG one from back in the day. He went out of space recently, like, not too long ago with Jeff Bezos went to space,
right?
And he had, like, this weird, like,
epiphany.
Yeah, well, he's like crying and everything when he got back to Earth, like, you know, and
because he realized, like, how small we are.
He's like, yo, this is all we got. Because he's saying, I looked out of space, nothing. He's like, there ain't shit out there. Yeah. It's just blackness. Because even though we can see stars on Earth, they say when you go out to space and when you actually leave Earth, you can't see the stars anymore. It's just all dark. And he's like, man, this is all we have. We got to do better.
Yeah, because it's like the Earth, so small.
It is.
You can literally take a plane and travel through, like, the whole Earth.
Yeah, a plane.
Within a day. Or 2 days, I don't know.
Yeah, a couple of days. It's a short trip than going to the moon, I guess. Yeah, man. We got to do better.
All right, so next topic. Chris is going to handle this one.
All right. So this topic tonight that I pick is... it's actually called a Ghost of Apartment 14.
Damn.
Yes, it's a lady and her daughter. They experience paranormal activity or poltergeist within their apartment, and it digs into deeper to who this ghost really is.
So where exactly is this apartment located?
So this apartment is located in Chico, California.
Hey.
Which I've never heard of this place because I've never been on that side of the world. But yeah, Chico, California, and basically it's Jodie Foster, not the actress, a female named Jodie Foster.
What?
Yeah, it's some regular lady named Jodie Foster.
Glitch. Glitch.
A lady named Jodie Foster and her daughter Hannah, right? So Jodie Foster, she is 33 years old at the time, and a single mom, and her daughter Hannah is 3, right? And on January 31st, remember this year, guys. Remember this date. January 31st. Remember that date. In the year 2000, her and her daughter move into this apartment complex in Chico, Cali.
Okay.
Jodie Foster says it looked like a normal apartment. I had, like, a little, some flowers in the front, this, that, and the third. But she talks about when she first got into the apartment, she immediately got, like, a dark feeling to it. She was like, something was off with this place. And for what they showed from the apartment, what I've seen earlier when I was watching a documentary about it, it looked like it may not have been enough lighting or whatever too, but it just gave, like, this very dark feel. But and also too, while she was in the apartment, she kept getting, like, a chemical smell, and she didn't know if it was coming from the carpet, but something was off with this place entirely. And then it says so while they was living there, the first time they started experiencing, like, any type of real paranormal activity stuff was when one morning her and her daughter were getting ready to head out the door or whatever. I think to take her daughter to like pre-K or whatever. Actually, it can be pre-K. Her daughter's like three. But she was trying to take her daughter out somewhere. When they went to the door, her daughter usually had like these pink little sneakers in front of the door with the rest of the shoes. And one day it wasn't there. Shoes were missing. And she's like, hey, like, you know, where's your shoes at, Hannah? Hannah's like, I don't know. And then when they found the shoes, it was like right in the middle of the daughter's bed.
Damn.
And this happened. And this wasn't the first time. This kept happening too. She was like, hey, like, it's time to head out the door. Where's your pink sneakers, Hannah? Mom, I'm telling you, like, I guess like they start getting into it, like, Hannah, stop moving your sneakers. And like little Hannah was like, I'm not moving them, like, that it's not me, like, whatever. It's like, I don't know how three-year-olds talk, but basically 3-year-olds saying like, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And basically like the shoes was like constantly always in the center of her bed.
I would have been like, you're lying, little girl,
like, what the fuck. But she's like but from what Jody was saying in her story was that it seemed like her daughter was very adamant, saying like, I didn't do it. And she was like, okay, like, I believe you, but all right. And they kind of moved past it. But that was like the first encounter where like a weird stuff started happening in the house. Another thing
in that's an apartment.
Within the apartment. Mm. They moved in an apartment, apartment 14, and this is weird. You would think stuff like this would happen in a house than an apartment. That's what threw me off about the stories, like haunted apartment. Not saying it's impossible. Probably, maybe I can see maybe be more common, I guess, but because people go in and out of apartments and whatnot.
Speaking of apartments, right? There's this one story. Like, we used to live out in apartments, like in LA, right? Mm-hmm. And we would get like front row seat to like domestic violence.
Mm.
Like,
shit goes on a lot in apartment
complex. Literally in our front window, right? If we just look out the window, you can see like a lady, Mexican lady, whipping the shit out of her husband or her boyfriend right in front of her window, dude.
They fucked up.
Like, she's whipping the fuck out of him, dude. Like, there's blood on the ground too. Like, she's, you know, fucking him up.
Damn, he fucked up.
We had such front row seats. I'm just watching like this, dude.
She just beat his ass
in the window. I was like,
you can spit on him.
It's almost like watching, I guess, Jesus getting crucified.
Like, damn.
I had front row seat because you could see blood splatter, like, you could see the sweat and everything. And the dude, no shirt on, he just had his cowboy jeans on, just screaming. He's like, stop. And he was like,
it's like Passion of Christ. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
And she's just whipping him like with the belt so thick, dude. Like, this is probably like 3 inches like wide and shit.
Fuck.
It's whipping him like it's like real leather too and shit. And
just whipping his
ass. You can feel like the whiplash and everything. And this dude, literally, I was like, we're about to see somebody die in front of our apartment.
Hmm.
I don't know what happened, like, but you know, they called the cops, the ambulance came. I don't know if he died.
Mm.
But yeah, I would think like apartments do have like a lot of weird shit happening.
Yeah, I mean, I saw domestic violence in my apartment complex just, well, I was about to say last year to make it seem like it's a long time ago, but I don't know, just a couple weeks ago.
What happened?
But I saw like this dude, him and his girl get into a parking lot and fucking they start hitting each other and he pulled out a gun.
Damn.
I was like, cool.
That's all it takes?
I was like, cool, let me go in my apartment and then that's it. But they've been doing that shit since I've, like, they've been doing it for a while.
It's a jack move, and then that's when you're like, huh?
But they've been doing that for, they've been, like, beating the shit out of each other for a while. But those are the type of couples that stay together for a long time.
Mm.
Like, it's like they're both toxic.
Weird. Yeah.
Like, when they do that, it's like, that means they're both toxic. Like, she probably beating his ass, he beat her ass. Mm-hmm. And they both realize they both fuck ups, and who else is going to want them?
Yeah, they both think that.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, we're both fuck ups, so let's just...
They'll be like, ain't nobody going to want me. And then he's like, ain't nobody going to want me. But you want me.
And I want you.
Damn.
You just don't punch each other. And the cops always show up and then they make them leave or make her leave. And then they'd be right back over there again.
Mm.
So, yeah, no, it's... So, yeah. So, I stand corrected. Apartment complexes can't get wild. I've seen some wild shit, too. And so, like I was saying before, pink little sneakers of Hannah, the 3-year-old daughter, kept showing up on the bed randomly. Which sounds like some weird paranormal shit because ghosts do weird shit like that anyways.
It's creepy.
It's never like, boo. It's like they move shit around. And
yeah, they do weird stuff like that.
Another one that was like another weird, annoying ghost move was the salt and pepper shakers on her kitchen table.
Mm.
Jody would come out into, you know, come out into the living room, or to come out to the kitchen area, and she would see the salt pepper shakers that she had at the center of the table. They always kept being pushed close to the edge, always to the edge, and it kept annoying her. And then she was like, "This is weird. Like, first was the shoes, now the salt and pepper shaker. Like, something was like just annoying her about it." And then that's when Jody started having the dreams. So Jody wound up having this dream about this girl wearing like a blue, like it was like a white shirt and blue jeans, walking down the street, right? Mm-hmm. And she came across like this two-door type of car, and in the car was a couple. This is what Jody is dreaming about. Mm-hmm. There's a couple that's there in the car, saying like, "Hey, come over here, come get in the car." And the girl's like, "Okay." But then the girl in the dream doesn't say okay. While she's standing there looking at them, somebody comes up behind her and puts like a rag over her mouth.
Damn.
And that's when the dream ends.
Shit.
And Jody wakes up like, "What the fuck? Like,
what? Yeah, what the fuck is that?"
Jody's like, "Why am I dreaming about somebody I've never seen before or anything? This has nothing to do with anything at all."
And he put like the chloroform or whatever on her face. So
the way she described her dream, it almost seemed like kind of like no edits. It's like very jump copy. Like jump. Cutty, I guess. Like, what would you say?
Like jump cut?
Yeah, jump cuts. Yeah, because she talks about the girl, like, sees the car, and then somebody comes up behind her. Like, she didn't say nobody gets out the car and grab her. Somebody just comes up behind her. Boom, boom, boom. It's like instantaneously.
That's when
she woke up, like, whoa, shit. Like, what? That has nothing to do with anything.
Speaking of dreams, I have a weird dream that I have to tell because it fucked me up for like 3 days and shit. Mm. But I got to pee before I tell a story.
Hold on, guys.
So don't go nowhere, guys. All right, and we're back.
Yes, sir.
All right, let me tell the story real quick since you were jumping on dreams.
Yeah.
So a few nights ago, I was sleeping, quickly had a dream where it was like a party scene. My sister, she had friends I'd never seen before. She was hanging out with a bunch of girls, right, in like a jacuzzi. So they're just hanging out in a jacuzzi. And then I end up hearing a dog bark, right? Like, I was inside the house, but I'm looking at the screen door. A dog is barking at the screen door. I can't see the dog. So I'm like, this is weird as fuck. Like, I can hear the dog. It's almost like that missing story.
Yeah.
Like, I can hear the dog, but I can't see him. So I started taking, like, pictures of, like, the screen door. And I would see in the picture when I look at my phone, a black dog. I'm like, oh, shit. And then I showed Jeremy. I was like, hey, look at this. It's a black dog in the backyard. But when I took the picture, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
But he shows up on my phone. So I was like, that's strange. That's weird. So then I ignored it. And then I went out to the backyard where the jacuzzi was at. Bob was hanging out with her friends in the jacuzzi. I was like, hey, let me take a picture of you guys. So they took like a fun party picture, right? I took a picture of them, right? When I look at the photo, dude, this shit looks so fucking creepy to where it kept me up for like two nights. So when I look at the photo on the phone, my sister head was like tilted, right? Like creepy tilted.
Like twisted?
Yeah, like twisted, right? Her friends holding her head. They're all pale face. And my sister's eyes, bloodshot, blood out of her eyes. And then the whole jacuzzi water, all red. What? And it was like the scariest shit I ever seen in my life. In my dream.
This is like a premonition type of weird, like.
It was so fucking like goosebump scary. I showed Jeremy in my dream. I was like, look at this photo. Did this happen? He looked at it. He was like, what the fuck was that? I showed Bob. She was like, what the hell? Because the water was all red. Her eyes red. Head tilted. Her friends holding her head. And I'm like, this is so fucking creepy. And then I woke up instantly. I couldn't even go back to sleep,
man,
dude.
Cold sweats.
Yeah, I was.
I woke up sweating.
I was sweating. I was like, what the hell? This is the weirdest dream I ever had.
God, that's one of them dreams you have when you wake up. Like, I swear to you, I just got chills thinking about, like, I would have woke up, like, sweat. Like, I would have felt cold. I'm like, why am I so cold? I'm like, I was sweating.
Dude, I was sweating. I couldn't even sleep for the rest of the night.
This sounds horrifying.
Yeah, because I kept seeing the image in my head. I was like, it looks so real. So, like, I couldn't sleep the whole night. I went to work. I didn't sleep that same night, and then I get that same image in my head of that picture on how it looked, because it looks so fucking creepy as fuck,
dude. That's wild as shit, man. I'm up all night. That's it for sleeping.
Yeah, I gotta tell Bob that story. I never told her that story, but
oh,
that,
really?
It happened a few nights ago. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is new.
Yeah, it's new.
Oh, I think it's like an older dream.
It happened a few nights ago.
God damn.
I was like, that's the weirdest fucking shit I ever fucking. The weirdest dream. The dream before that was weird was maybe when I were like middle school, where I saw my brother kill the whole family. That was like the last weird that's dream.
Fucking insane. That might be even crazier, man, because that should be going.
He killed the whole family with the sword. Yeah, yeah.
It sounds even crazier.
No cap.
As a kid, saying.
No yeah, cap. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, back to your story.
Man, that's horrifying.
That is, yeah, scary.
Okay, so, all right, so with Jody, after she had her dream in her apartment, seeing a girl walk down the street wearing a white shirt and blue jeans, you know, getting abducted, not long after that, another strange paranormal moment that happened in their apartment was one time Jody's in the kitchen, right, making breakfast or whatever, and she hears her daughter around the corner talking to something. She goes around the corner to look down the hallway, and she sees her daughter standing outside of her bedroom, but talking to someone in it. Just standing there. And
how old is the daughter?
3. So she's prime, man. She don't, she's prime to see the paranormal.
Yeah, you know, if I saw that, I'm like,
she is tapped into the paranormal.
I'm not even second guessing. I'm like, she having a paranormal experience right now in front of us.
And so she winds up talking to her daughter. She winds up asking her daughter, like, hey, who are you talking to? And she was like, well, the girl over there, mommy. And the daughter looks into the room and she's like, okay, well, do you mean, like, did somebody walk past the window? And the little girl's like, no, mommy, the girl over there, My Liz. That's her name, My Liz.
Damn.
And the daughter's like, no, the mom's like, what the hell? Like, what, My Liz? And she's like, okay, this is getting weird. And,
That's when the lights start flickering.
Well, actually, there is a moment of that. They do get that typical light flickering shit.
The veil is so thin right now, you know that.
And so they also, and so mind you, this happened back in 2000. So the daughter now is, she was 3 back then, so maybe like 26 or some shit, or 24, 25 when this episode came out. She talks about vividly how she remembers seeing somebody in the room, but she was so young, she didn't understand the situation, but she just thought that it was just a friend of the family that came over. But it wasn't a friend of the family. Not even close. A friend, maybe. A family, no. But so that was another incident they had. And it says, so one day Jody and her daughter Hannah, they went out to dinner one night, right? Came home, and in the kitchen, they had the old school house phones that would hang up on a wall and shit. Well, the receiver part, the one you listen through, was gone, and it was like wrapped up and like placed in another room.
Damn.
And this is when he walked in the house. She's like, "Where the hell's the phone?" She looked around and she saw the phone right there, and then it was all weird to her. And then she went to her daughter's bedroom, and all her daughter's toys was, like, pushed into, like, one pile.
Damn.
Into the middle of the room.
Old Sixth Sense ass.
Yes, it was pushed into, like, one pile, and at the top of the pile was this Ernie Sesame Street doll. And wrapped around Ernie's neck was, like, a shoestring. But it was, like, tied like a noose.
Damn.
Like a hanging noose. But it was, like, a shoestring. And the
old dramatic ghost ass.
Yeah, and that's when it was like, holy shit, we kind of need to move or whatever. And she wound up calling the cops. Jody called the cops, and the cops were like, yeah, whatever, maybe something your daughter did. And they blew it off. And she was like panicking about it, like freaking out over it. And then, so it wound up being like the next day. Actually, no, the story gets even crazy after this. So I think, I'm not sure if it was that night or sometime later, Jody was like, she was like in her bedroom sleeping, the mom, sleeping in her bedroom, and she was hearing like static out there in the living room. She went out there, TV was on, and then, and I'm not gonna lie, this sounds very pretty cookie cutter type of paranormal shit right here. So bear with me, folks, but this is her story. She woke up, went to the living room, saw the TV was on, but it was just static, and then she started hearing like slamming in the kitchen.
Damn.
And she went in there, the cabinets were just like, just slamming all over the place.
Yeah.
And then after the cabinet started slamming, she heard like a noise from her daughter's bedroom. And she went in there and her daughter was sleeping, but she kept hearing a voice from the closet. And it kept saying, I feel great. Mm. I feel great. I feel great. When she opened up the closet, it was the same Ernie doll that was on top of the pile. She had put it on top of the top shelf, but it was talking. And her brain was thinking like, okay, maybe it's the battery's running low or whatever.
This is the mom?
This is the mom. She was like, okay, maybe the battery's low. Mm. Let me take the batteries out, the Ernie doll. So took the batteries out, and she put it back on the shelf. And then when she closed the closet, when she said she was about to leave the room, it started singing, what was the fucking song? Oh, it started singing like, twinkle, twinkle, oh, little star. And that's when she's all like fucking panicking, and she grabbed her kid. They ran out and grabbed the neighbor. They grabbed the neighbor, and the neighbor was like, okay, I'll go with you, some lady. And the neighbor had like a little dog with her. They went back to the apartment. Dog was there, and then the dog started like acting crazy, like fucking trying to kick and get up out the lady's arm.
Yeah.
Because she's like, she just needed a witness. Like, hey, like, I need somebody to see this with me, or am I losing my mind? Because she was already like a single mom, already stressed out, like still trying to start a new life with her and her daughter. Because I don't know too much about her past, about why she's a single mom, but I'm assuming that she was leaving something to start something new. Mm-hmm. So she's already stressed out, trying to find a new job. So she was kind of like, I need to get like a witness to make sure I ain't lose my damn mind. Lady comes over with the dog. Dog acts crazy. Lights start flicking on and off. And that's when like, fuck this, we're leaving. And they actually wound up leaving the place not too long after that. They got the hell up out of there. Well, not immediately, because the next day she said she was like tripping. She was like standing by the apartment complex pool, and she was crying about it. And she was like just stressed out, being a single mom, this whole situation. And she's like some old guy that was walking by with her dog, like, you know, struck up a conversation with her. And she wanted to tell him like, hey, like, this is what's going on in my apartment. And he's like, yeah, I've been here for 25 years, and nobody stays in an apartment that long mm-hmm. at all. Like, people usually in and out. Yeah, she's like, so he's one of the people that, I've been here for 25 years, shit be going down here, and nobody sticks
around. He's probably, like, watching that shit, like, right when, like, the new tenants come in.
Go in and out. He's like, they're going to be here for long.
He checks his watch.
Right on time.
And let's see how long they last.
Yes. Yep, and so...
That reminds me of, like, well, we used to live at that's one house, like, back in San Jose, right? Mm. You know, my parents, they came from, like, a country, like, this war-torn country type, mm. where they just got done with going through a genocide.
Okay,
yeah, so yeah, they came to America with, like, barely any money at all. Mm. At the same time, trying to raise a family. So, you know, they're, like, penny pinchers and stuff, of course, so they can survive and stuff.
For sure.
So then... Like, we would move into, like, this one... I don't know if it was a house or apartment, but we moved into this one place, like, in San Jose, where I guess they saved up all the money to move there, right? But something was wrong with that house or apartment. Like, if you can look at, like, our old family photos, there's weird stuff, like, in those photos. Like, weird anomalies, like, in those photos. Mm. And then, like, back then, me as a kid, I didn't think much of it, right? I think I talked about the story all the time. Like, we end up playing, like, dog, like, in the kitchen.
Yeah, and he's always a dog.
And then the real dog came out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ghost dog. And then, like, there's this another story that my brother told. Like, when he was sleeping, he fell off, like, the bed when he was sleeping. And then he looked in, like, the middle of, like, the living room or whatever. And he sees, like, a lady in, like, in a white dress. In the same living room, like, same weird house mm-hmm. where everything was happening. And then next thing you know, in that same house, like, my parents, they brought, like, a whole bunch of monks over to, like, the...
Oh, you did tell me about that, yeah.
The place, and I guess they were blessing the whole house.
Yeah, to cleanse that shit, yeah.
To cleanse it. But I'm thinking, I was like, this is not a funeral or nothing. Like, what's going on? And you see all the monks. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 or 6 monks, like, yeah. Sitting, like, across the whole living room. Or, like, a ceremony that's happening, and I don't even know why they're doing this ceremony. But I think, like, the house, like, super haunted. Like, they brought all... My dad, he brought, like, the whole, like,
No, his own gang.
Yeah, all of them were there, and I was wondering why they're doing this ceremony, because it didn't make sense to me. Even now, I was thinking, I was like, what was the purpose of this?
Yeah, the same thing with sometimes with people bringing in, like, if their house maybe be going through a poltergeist, whether it might bring in, like, a Catholic priest in there to...
Yeah, yeah.
Cleanse that shit and exercise whatever the hell is up in there.
Yeah, but like me, like as a kid, when I'm seeing that happening,
yeah, you don't really get it though. Yeah,
I don't understand it.
Yeah,
and like at that time, the only thing I was thinking of, like as a kid, I was like, when are they gonna leave? That was what I was thinking, because I was like, they're like taking up a whole living room space. Like,
we can't watch TV, bro.
I was like, we can't do nothing out here. And the whole time we're like trapped in like my mom's room.
She won't let you leave.
Watching Star Trek with Fat Man, because that was Fat Man shit.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, we gotta watch Star Trek with Fat Man. And then while like the monks are chanting the whole time, I don't know for how long, huh?
Were they loud? Could you hear them?
Yeah.
Shit.
They're chanting like whatever they're doing, but long story short, we end up moving out of that apartment or house so fast. And if you think like third world, you come from a like war torn country.
Yeah.
You would try to stay there as long as you can, because money doesn't come by
man,
easy.
I don't know.
Especially for foreigners that don't understand English, don't understand like, you know, the layout of the land out here. So it was rough. And then for them to pick up and move out that place to another place, you know something had to be wrong. Because usually, like, with Asian people, they would actually try to live with it.
Yeah.
But I think my mom, she was the main one that was most afraid of ghosts.
Mm.
To where I think she told my dad, I was like, no, we cannot live here at all. It doesn't matter how much money we lose. We just can't live here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they bit the bullet and they just got out of that place. Even though my dad was like, you know, we're struggling with money or whatever. Let's try to get these monks to clear this place out. But I guess, I don't know, it didn't work out or some shit.
Yeah, your mom was probably like, I'm still not happy with it. Like,
yeah, because my mom, she never like talks about it, but I think she's like the most afraid of that stuff. Because one reason why I know why she's super afraid of ghosts is because like one day while we're living out here in Georgia, like when we first moved here, we used to live with my cousin, right? And then every time like after school, I don't like to stay like in the house, like back then and stuff. As a kid, I want to explore.
Yeah.
So I would walk around the neighborhood. I found a creek and shit. So I found a creek. I was like, hey, let's fucking get some fish from this creek. I'm bored. Right. So I would come. I would hang out at the creek like every day and shit.
Yeah.
And then my mom, she drives home from work. And then the road actually cuts to where that creek was at. And she can see me and my cousin at the creek, like trying to catch fish. And she would drive down and she would see us. She's like, what the fuck? So then, like, I saw my mom. I waved at her or whatever. But that same night, like, I got home. She was like, hey, I don't want you playing at that creek no more. Like, you guys are not scared. And then I'm saying, I was like, what? Like, why would I be scared?
Yeah.
I didn't even put the puzzle together. But there's actually, like, a story, like, in Cambodia where there's, like a headless ghost story. It's like a folklore, but it's actually, like, real according to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Where like when it's like a certain family bloodline that was cursed with this curse, like when they sleep, right, their head would come off their body when they sleep, and they go around the creeks and stuff looking for food to eat.
Oh.
And then like when they're done with the night, they go back to the body. This was like folklore story.
Is this the one that like eats fish and shit? Or
yeah, eats like fish, insects, frogs, or whatever. Yeah. They hang out at creeks.
Oh.
And then my mom, she thought like, yeah, I was like, you're not scared? I'm like, no, I'm not scared. But then it makes sense now when I know the story.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Hot damn.
Because that story, like, it resonates, like, with almost every single Cambodian. Like, if you speak about that story with the headless ghost.
Yeah.
Because we have, like, our own name for, like that shit. But, like, the story is like, their head come off, and then they go to, like, bushes and stuff and creeks, and they go looking for it to eat, like, dead creatures or insects or fish.
And then it goes back to the human body too.
At the end of the night, they go back to the body.
And they have no idea that they're...
They have no idea that they're like...
Damn.
Cursed like that. Yeah. And that's the story. And it's fucking scary as
fuck. It's horrifying, dude. Man. Yeah, head and was it the spine and...
Yeah, you see the spine like from hanging out the head. It's like super sci-fi shit, but...
That's insane. I would scream.
Yeah, that story is like really popping out there. Like, shit. Way before the internet. Like,
this is when people used to communicate.
Yeah, they all knew that story, and they know it was, like, some weird curse. They said it was some curse with a family member, and now it's stretching through generations because they see them in Cali now, in Long Beach and Sacramento, and even out here in Riverdale.
Damn, so it's just jumping everywhere.
It's a story, though. It's a story. It's just rumor. I heard.
So it's just jumping everywhere. Shit.
Yeah, I heard there's like one in Riverdale, but I don't know how true that is. Shit. They said that they see a head back in Quick Trip or whatever.
Oh, hell no.
But, hey,
I'm out of here.
Get your grandma. She out here.
I am out of here.
She out here at Quick Trip.
All right.
Yeah, that's wild.
All right, so back with the ghost in apartment 14. Says what I was saying before was that so Jody, she winds up meeting like while she's outside crying the next day after the whole poltergeist incident. Old man comes up to her, walking his dog, having a conversation. Talks about, like, you know, 25 years ago. He talks about how he lived there for 25 years, and then eventually he kind of just explains to her. Yeah, like you know, like, people don't stay there at all. And eventually she winds up leaving. And so Jody and her daughter, they was only in that apartment for about 3 months. Mm-hmm. And they left. And then 3 months later... So after 3 months, they had left. And then sometime later, she wound up moving, just taking her daughter to a different location. And she thought her troubles would be over after leaving. Mm. But it wasn't. It was
followed her.
I would say it did. But not the poltergeist stuff. The dreams she continued to start having.
Oh, damn!
But so after, like I was saying, like after she wound up moving, she started dating some other. She started dating some guy, and this guy wound up coming across the book. Some dude that she was dating at the time. Well, I'm trying to see it. Sorry. Okay, so she was dating a guy at this time, and he stumbled across this book called The Perfect Victim, and he winds up, like, you know, hitting her up, saying, like, hey, babe, like, you know, this dream that you've been having about this girl before that you told me about, you know, this is a story in this book about this author that sounds very similar to what you dreamt about. And so in the book, the story is about this girl named Elizabeth Spahank. Yeah, Elizabeth Spahank.
Sounds German.
And she looked, yeah, maybe she might have been that. I don't know. She was definitely white, though. But in the book, The Perfect Victim, it talks about the story of Elizabeth Spahank, right? So now we're going to put the Jody story to a side for a second, right? We'll push Jody to the side, because this is now a story that she wound up stumbling across because her boyfriend wound up coming across it in the book and then printing off, like, news articles and stuff. And so when he gave the articles to Jody, Jody was looking at the book and, I mean, sorry, looking at the news article, and one of the nicknames, because she had went missing years, many years ago, but in the news article, it talked about how her Elizabeth was Elizabeth Spahank. But her nickname was Marlies. And when she saw the name Marlies, she was like, Marlies, Marlies. She thought about what her daughter said, my Liz.
Oh, shit.
And she's like, oh, my God. Like, and that's when she started freaking the hell out. And then so that's it for the part of the story with Jody. We'll go back to Jody in a little bit.
Damn.
We'll go back to it a little bit. So now we're going to go back in time to January 31st, 1976.
Yeah.
Where on this day, a girl named Elizabeth Spahank, who was 18 years old at the time, she was at a flea market with her boyfriend, got into an argument over something or whatever, and she basically just, like, winds up, like walking away from him. And sometime later, she was just walking down the road, and that's the last time anyone's ever seen her, ever. And so when she went missing, and a missing persons report went out January 31st, 1976, just like January 31st, 2000 when he moved into the apartment.
Yeah.
Around that same time. It's a weird connection with the dates. Mm-hmm. On that same day, January 30th. Well, how Elizabeth Spahank ended up in Chico, California was she wanted to move out there to try, like, from my understanding of the story, she wanted to, like, get into Hollywood and all this type of stuff. But she wanted meeting a guy out there, wound up staying with him, and basically, she wound up moving into apartment 14, where that was her residence when she went missing. All right, so she wound up going missing on January 31st, 1976. And at that time, there was this deranged couple that was going around by the name of Cameron and Janice Hooker. They were basically going around, like, hunting for, like, young women to be his sex slave, Cameron Hooker, like, you know, all he wanted was, like, a damn sex slave. And so while they were, like, riding around and trying to find a girl, on the day of January 31st, they came across Elizabeth Spahank walking down the street. This is like one of their first victims. And she was walking down the street and they saw she was by herself. And they like, hey, come over here. Like, do you need a ride? And they talked to her for like a little bit. And when they asked her some questions, like they asked her questions to make it seem like to try to understand, are you from around here? Do you have any family around here? And I guess she gave up too much information, saying like, no, I'm not from around here. I'm just here with my boyfriend. Da-da-da. They wound up getting her into the car for a second. But then once she got into the car, she didn't feel comfortable. And when she tried to get out, that's when Cameron Hooker grabbed her and pulled her back into the car. Oh. Started punching her and put a box over her head. Damn. Now, when I say a box, I don't mean like a cardboard box. He had built like a box to where it would close around your head and he would lock it. Damn. So it was like a it was like a box, but the hole was perfectly cut out so your neck could fit through the hole of the box. And he handcuffed her and he put her in the back seat and they drove off with her. They basically took her out to their house, and when they got there, once they took her into the house, they dragged her in. They took her in there and then she wouldn't stop screaming. She wouldn't stop screaming at all. And then so while they was there, and the whole time Janice Hooker, the wife, was like trying to tell her, like, she felt uneasy about it. And but the husband, Cameron Hooker, got so sick and tired of her screaming, he like tried to cut out her vocal cords. They went to the bathroom.
Oh my god.
He pulled a knife and tried to cut out her vocal cords, but he fucked up. He didn't know what he's doing. But he claimed like he read some books about how to do it. You know, dude, crazy.
So you tried to cut out her vocal cords because she was just yelling too much?
Yeah, she yelled too much. And mind you, I think they might have had kids too. This is like, I can't remember if they had kids then or not, but they were like, it's crazy shit. Because Janice Hooker held the girl down, and she was afraid. She was saying she was afraid that her kids would get murdered too. And so she went along with it. And that's when she helped hold her down while he cut out her vocal cords. Well, tried to. He tried to and he fucked up. And he realized like, oh shit, this isn't going to work. So then he wound up taking her, like, told his wife, like, hey, grab her feet. We're going to take it down to the basement. They took it to the basement, and they had, like, hooks down there. And they put up on a hook, and then basically, like, he just used the rope, and he strangled with a rope. Just like the Ernie doll, with the little shoelaces tied around the neck.
Yeah.
Kind of like, hey, imitating, like, her death.
Yeah.
So he wound up choking her out, killing her with that. And then, ever since then, nobody knows what happened to her body. At all. Nobody knows. To this day, they still don't know where her body's at.
You think, like, with these, like, past murders like that, like, it repeats, like, in our reality, like, in a different style?
Like, yeah, like,
but it's still
a cycle. Yeah, going
through it runs the same. It's almost like retelling the same story over and over again.
Yeah, it's going through, like, a cycle, yeah. So sometimes when we see, like, you always hear stories of, you'll see, like, supernatural spirits walk through a house or seeing them getting murdered, but it's just, like, just the reenactment. But I always felt like it's never so much happening right here. We're just seeing it happening through a very thin veil of reality. Like,
we're
just seeing it through. We're seeing it happen again, but not in our reality, through just a weak spot, I guess.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's like a good way. That's always talking about it. It's like, it's not really happening here, but we're just seeing it going through a time loop over and
that
over
is
again.
Good, dude.
Yeah, that's always been my theory of it.
You're like deep as shit. I don't like even think weak, you don't even know spot. How deep you are. When you just speak like that, I'm like, dude, Chris is on this shit. Yeah, I don't even like, think you even know like you're on this shit like that.
Nah, man, I just be like, yeah, my brain be thinking, but like, it's gotta be a loop. If different eyewitnesses keep seeing it, it's a weak spot. We just
Definitely. Like it's like
something
I was
stuck
saying,
out in time.
I was saying earlier, like a split second, I was like, the veil is really thin.
Yeah,
right now.
It's very thin, man. It's like a weak spot, man.
It's very thin right now. That's why like you're seeing like a lot of the stuff that I'm sending you like on Instagram, but all the weird UFO shit.
Yeah.
And how the reactions of the people that's capturing these UFOs. And then I'm looking at it myself too, and I'm like, okay, like in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, somebody's doing like CGI stuff, right?
Yeah.
But then my other back of my head is thinking, okay, listen to the reactions of the people that's recording it.
Yeah.
Like, does it match up to like the film that's being shown right now?
Yeah, like that's what you gotta look for is the reactions, man. Cause
yeah, that's the true shit that you can tell. You can tell shit. Like from the reaction of like people filming it.
Because this is like, oh shit! Like
on what they're seeing, because like. We could be going through, like, the same shit where we would film something and our reaction, we would just be like, holy shit.
Yeah. And then you know? It's a human reaction, man. Because that's all I always look for is, like, how people react to shit. Because So many people put up fake shit. Like, I was watching something the other day on Instagram. This husband, he, like, filled up, like, his, like, this kiddie pool. Well, him and his wife have a waterbed, and he removed it, and then he filled up the waterbed up with, like, water. Like, with, like, a, like, no, no, sorry. He got rid of the waterbed and put a kiddie pool in there that's shaped like a waterbed. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, a round kiddie pool. It was, like, a long, like, square type shit. Filled it up with water by putting holes through, like, the bedroom window. And then put the blanket and all this other shit on it. And then you see, like, the girl get on it. But she starts screaming before she falls. She's like, ah! Then you have to catch it real quick. It was, like, she screamed before the initial fall. So it's like, okay, you can't be...
Yeah.
Can't believe everything, but... So it's like, people's reactions is key.
They tried us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always key.
I gotta take a leak real quick, I don't know, we come back and finish this.
Okay.
Back to apartment 14.
Right. So, what was I at? All right, so... Sad to say that Elizabeth Spahank, she was actually murdered that night. And Janice actually winds up talking about how... Janice actually winds up helping dispose of the body too and whatnot.
Damn.
And then
she's a bad girl too.
Yeah. Bad, horrible girl. And so with that being said, try to get track of my stuff. Okay, so that was the first victim that they had, right? Elizabeth wound up being murdered and whatnot, but that wasn't their only victim. So the real thing that really got the attention of the whole world about how Cameron and Janice Hooker were actually running around and basically being predators and trying to find girls because Cameron just wanted to have like a sex slave so badly was 8 years after. Sorry, I'm missing a spot. Anyways, I'm going to try to explain it the best way I can. These times are all messed up on my laptop. But anyways, so with Janice and her husband, Cameron Hooker, after they did that with Elizabeth, they wound up finding another victim named Colleen Stan, who was this other girl that they wound up kidnapping. And they kept her, and they wound up snatching her up, and she wound up being a sex slave for 7 years with them.
Damn.
And he would keep them. He would keep her in like this coffin like box underneath their waterbed for 7 years. And anytime he would have sex or beat on her, he would take her out, beat her, rape her. Sometimes he would have sex with Janice Hooker right in front of her. All this wild shit. And that was actually a crazy situation because this was a moment where. At this time frame, throughout the whole course of the 7 years, where Colleen Stan was getting beaten and whatnot, because how they caught her was that she was actually hitchhiking back in 1977, and for 7 years, her husband basically imprisoned her, put her like in a coffin for 23 hours a day, take her out on occasion to rape her and subject her to tortures like whipping, burning, and electrocution.
Damn, man, these guys.
There was a power couple, man, a rape power couple. And it says, though Janice, and even though Janice, like, she wound up, like, aiding her husband Cameron in this stuff, in the year of 1984.
You think they're more bad back then than now?
I don't even know. I mean, now it's a lot more cameras. Back then, out of the 70s and 80s, that was, like, a weird time of, like, weird, like, cultish type devil shit. Like, kidnappings were prevalent. Like,
yeah, they were still trying to figure out who they are and shit.
Yeah, during the 60s and 70s, that's when like a lot of people went missing, mainly like kids who ran away from home during the flower power movement, where kids were like, man, screw mom and dad, I'm gonna hit the road and go be hippie. A lot of kids went missing in that time frame, and this is before like America started realizing like, hey, we need to create a system to where kidnappings are a thing. And eventually over time, which in our lifetime, we remember this when he started creating like the Amber Alert and stuff. Because the world was still just going through the process of like, man, kids are going. I think a lot of people was complacent and letting their kids just do whatever the hell they want back then. And wasn't thinking about fucking serial killers or any type of shit about child molesters or anything out there. Nobody was thinking on that level. I mean, life right now may seem like it's crazier. But I think it's just that we're more aware that these people exist now. Back then, nobody was even thinking on that level of...
Yeah, I think, like, nowadays, like, we're forgetting about, like, the bad guys like that.
Yeah.
Like, the bad guys, like, for example, like, the ones that do kidnap people. Because when was the last time you heard about a kidnapping, like, locally? It doesn't really happen like that.
Well, I get Amber Alerts a lot. How often do they catch them? I don't know. But it seems like I can...
Well, most of the Amber Alerts that do happen is actually, like, the baby daddy trying to...
You know what I'm saying? It's usually, like, the parent takes them.
That's the parent takes them and be like, that, I'm out. Peace out. Adios. So then that's
this
when...
This is my kid. And
yeah, it's usually, like, a domestic, local type of situation that's going on. But it's not, like, nothing like...
Nobody.
Like, back then how it was. Like, oh, we got Tyrone is missing.
Yeah.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Never been seen again. And then,
Atlanta Monster.
It's not like that. Yeah, it's not like...
Yeah, like these
young... As far as we know, we
young children, like young black males that go missing in the night. Next thing you know, they find them floating on the river.
Or some shit. Oh, that was a horrible... I listened to that whole podcast too, man.
This shit was horrible, fucking, man. The way... How they... Like... developed like the whole podcast and how they were able to get interview with that guy that they
Wayne Roberts or some shit
they able to get his interview like in jail, and
I still think that's their best season. I don't think they've ever been able to encapsulate that with the podcast.
It was good
because they had to change the name after that to make it more generalized.
Yeah, but, like, if you think about it, like, it's like a podcast production company.
Yeah.
Where they run stories like this, they run that one story, and then they
gotta make it, okay,
capitalize on the Atlanta Monster.
Yeah, because Atlanta Monster was
which
big,
is like the perfect name for like a podcast series.
Man, even I was like, I heard of this story, but I want to know more.
I did not. At the same time, this is like when like
the true crime podcasters was like popping
up. true crime podcast.
This is popping up, man.
Everything like on Netflix with all the like, the murder documentaries, Zodiac killers, all that shit. That shit was popping. It was like
it still is too.
Yeah, yeah. Then the huge audience is like females because they're
But it's like white furban, like white. Furban
canceled.
White suburban females, and then there's like middle aged, like within their 40s, are like the biggest like group that he pull in.
Yeah,
but I'm like, yo, what about black dudes? Because I've been watching this shit too.
Okay, like according to like their data demographic, like of course, like the American female would be like. I'm most attracted to that. But like with me, my own data analytics, I know like a lot of people like within like my Asian realm.
Dude, everybody loves
this
shit.
They're all into it too.
Yes,
so
one of my good friends.
I was like, okay, Asian people are into this stuff just as much as anybody else.
Yeah, one of my good friends, like two of my good friends, black dudes, we be watching the same shit. I'm like, yo, it ain't just...
That Jeffrey D.
Jeffrey Dahmer is, oh my God.
That Jeffrey D.
That shit got so weird at one point.
That's the one I never watched.
I watched it.
I just listened to like what you guys talk about it.
Oh
but
my
like,
God.
It's not one of the things that I like to watch. So that's
the first episode's rough. It's actually, it took me, I think I watched the first episode and I stopped it. And I was like, you know what? It makes you feel very uncomfortable. And then it just gets stranger. And this is all stuff I knew about Jeffrey Dahmer, but still.
The weird shit is, like, it almost made it seem like it's cool.
You know what I'm saying? Because then, like, people ran with it, like, oh, he's kind of hot. But not. I don't know if they're talking about Jeffrey Dahmer being hot or the actor that plays Jeffrey Dahmer.
Well, like, when the reason why I'm saying, like, what it made the society think, like, it's cool is when I actually saw people dressing up as...
Yeah, for Halloween. That's horrible.
Jeffrey Dahmer on Halloween. And I was like, wait, hold on. Like, this dude...
Took people
not,
away from
not a
people.
Good guy, but... Now, like, fast forward to, like, the year we're at now, and it's like, okay, like, it's cool, or, like, it's cool to dress up as, like, this dude. Because if we were to say the same thing about, like, Adolf Hitler...
Oh, man, we would get dragged for that shit.
Yeah, you would you'd get dragged.
We're
like,
done.
If you were dressed up as him, like, because you saw him on a documentary, because, like, oh, hey, this dude...
You done.
This, hey, 1942, that shit lit. Yeah. And then you dress up as fucking Adolf, you get fucked up for that shit. Yeah.
But Jeffrey Dahmer gets a pass, I guess.
Yeah, and then I'm like, okay, like what's the line? Where's the line?
Yeah, man. I seen a little bit on TikTok videos of people dressing up as like Jeffrey Dahmer doing like a dance and shit. And
it's so weird. I was like, well, okay, where's the line? Like, well, evil is evil. Like, come on.
Hell yeah. I mean, I ain't saying Hitler ate people, but we know Jeffrey Dahmer did. That's a fact. That's a known fact. We all knew this. That was one of the main things we all knew about him.
Yeah, Hitler, he paint dogs. Jeffrey ate people.
Yeah, shit. And maybe probably killed some dogs too, because he was killing animals.
Yeah, who knows? Like, Hitler probably was on that same train and shit. Like, hey, let me get a taste of fucking.
Let me get a
taste of Kentucky white meat or whatever.
The real white meat. All right.
Yeah, so no one's going to hear this episode.
Probably not.
Until we have like a billion views and shit. Backtrack. What are these guys talking about back then?
Oh my God, we're going to get Joe Rogan.
Burn them. Let's burn these guys.
All right. So then, all right. So like what I was talking about before. Oh yeah. So Colleen Stan, who was the, actually, so anyways, like I said, Colleen Stan was a female who got kidnapped on a hiking one day, and she was put in a box, and for 7 years she was underneath like some type of waterbed or whatever. Cameron would take her out every now and again to do his little fucked up shit with her, and then eventually, Janice felt really bad about it and wound up like helping her escape. She never, according to Janice, she said she never liked it from the beginning. So, like, she would get threats from her husband about, like, he would threaten to kill the kids, this, that, and the third. So, she helped Colleen Stan escape, right? And then, not too long after that, Colleen wound up calling, like, I'm not sorry, not Colleen, Janice, Hooker, the wife, wound up calling the cops. She was, like, at a church, some Nazarene church or whatever the hell it's called. She called the cops over there, the cops showed up, and she confessed everything. She's like, and I feel bad about it, da da da. And she tells him a whole story about how they was always out there just hunting for girls, trying to get girls. And she winds up bringing up Elizabeth, the one that was murdered back in the 70s. She winds up bringing up her name. The thing about Elizabeth's situation is that the cops could never find a body at all about her going missing. They couldn't find a body or anything, but... So when they asked, like, Janice, like, well, how can you prove that he did kidnap this girl and he did murder her and try to cut out vocal cords and all that? She was like, well, I remember when we took her, I just remember her name from my ID, and that's it. But I can tell you, like, the girl you guys have been looking for, that was one of his, you know, one of his very first, like, people that he snatched up. And the only one so far, because the only thing, because with this story, with Cameron Hooker, when they wound up going to trial and shit, they just only wound up charging him for the kidnapping of Colleen Stan, the girl he held for 7 years. And he was going to be sentenced to 104 years in prison just for that. But they never charged him for the death of Elizabeth Spahank because they couldn't find a body. Which is hard to, like, put a body... It's hard to give somebody, like, charge them for the murder of a crime if you can't find a body. Right. And there's no DNA, you can't show nothing at all. Like, it's just... They can't find shit of where the body's at. I think to this day they're still looking for the body because it hasn't been recovered.
They're not gonna find it.
But then again, they're getting close to it, because fast forward to 2008. So, like I said, with Jody, she started having these dreams again, and she had a dream of where she had a dream of, like, this time that the girl's head was, like, in a box.
Damn.
And because the dream that she had before of Elizabeth was, like, her walking down the street and getting abducted. This is when they're getting to the location of where she was at. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So she had a dream. And, like, mind you, Jody and her daughter are no longer living in that apartment anymore. They left. Right? They live in a whole different location. I think they're still living in Chico County. Chico, California, but they never went anywhere else. And while they were there, she was having another dream, and in this dream was, like, she was being taken out of the car, and she was being taken into a house, and they put her into, like, a root cellar, like one of them deep-ass cellars in the house, and that's when, I guess, the girl was fighting back. And she had the dream that they tried to cut out her vocal cord.
Damn.
That's when she had the dream of it, And she wound up, and like I said, like, so she had this dream in 2008, she had this dream and stuff, and she felt weird about it, and so she's like, you know what, I don't care who believes me. Also, in the dream too, She said, like, it happened around, like, it was, like, dusk. Like, so, like, the end of the day where they took the girl out the car, head still on the box. And she said, like, during her dream, she kept seeing the numbers 35.76. Mm. And she kept seeing A17. So, it was, like, grid coordinates. This was just like, that's what she kept seeing. She didn't really understand what it was at first, but then she was like, are they like coordinates or whatever? And she was like really scared to come to the police about it. But then she was like, you know, I feel like I need to tell somebody because this has been going on for too long. She wound up going to the cops about it. Actually, no, she called 911, or not called 911, but she got in contact with the cops of that area, of the police department, well, the police department of the area. And the police department, at the same time, when she called, she was like, hey, I have information about, you know, the missing girl back in the 70s, you know, Elizabeth Spahank. And the cop on the phone was like, are you sure? Because how do you know this? We just opened up a case about her. Because I guess they had just, at that same time, they was opening up a case, to like a cold case, to try to figure out where her body's at. Because everybody pretty much figured that she was dead. They just wanted to find a body. But Jody did not know they was opening up the case at all. But when she called them at the same, like, called them at the time, they were opening up the case. So the cop already that answered the phone was like, all right, this is kind of weird. How the fuck, you know, we even...
Yeah, that is weird.
You knowing about us opening up case, like, this is top secret. This ain't even public knowledge. And but it's because... And the reason why they keep that stuff to kind of, like, top secret, too, because if the killer's still out there, if it was public, the killers might run. Mm-hmm. And they don't want that to happen, obviously. So the fact that Jody was even had type of knowledge about it, they was like, okay, let's do an interview.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So they wound up doing an interview with Jody, and they took her information down about the 35.76, and she said she saw, like, the capital letter A and 17, and she said she was flying over, like, an area with number trees, which she had to dream. She was flying over the area, but she didn't understand any of it, but... Her only thing she knows is like
astral projecting.
That's what it sounded like to me. She never really explained it like that, but she's talking about in her dream that I was just flying over an area and I kept seeing like the capital letter A and then 17, and then 35 point, like, what was it? 76. Mm. And that's what I was seeing when I was flying over this, like, this wooded area.
That's so weird.
And so the cops, Jody talks about how she went to go interview with the cops. The cops really couldn't tell her too much because it was an open investigation, which means they can't really talk about what's going on. Mm-hmm. They can only take what she says, but they can't tell her anything. And she was telling her, like, look, this had a dream about this girl that went missing. I kept seeing these numbers, 35.6. And she was scared to tell them anything because she said, like, I feel like they was going to laugh at me or whatever. But she says, I don't care. Like, I just want to help this girl out because now that I can confirm that this girl was living in the same apartment I was living in. Mm. I'm still seeing stuff, and I know they ain't found nothing about this girl at all.
It's so crazy. Like, you think, like, when something dramatic like that happens, like, so dramatic to where they would try to run this in, like, other generations of people?
As far as what? As a...
Like, they would try to run the same storyline or to get people to know the story?
As far as, like, to get her name out there and stuff, or the missing person, or...
Yeah, like, because you know how, like, it's on the new family or the new apartment, but yeah, the story is, like, the same?
Yeah, and then, like, a lot of people have been leaving, I guess.
Yeah, like, you think, like, it's the story is, like, that incredible to where they would try to mess with other people to get the story out so they can find peace or whatever?
Could be. Trying to get in their head, I guess.
Yeah, like, so they try to get the truth out so they can move on. Because maybe they're stuck here, like,
yeah,
in this reality.
I need to communicate with somebody. But it seems like the average person being there will be like, oh, shit. And then wouldn't even try to understand it.
The whole story, it adds up to, like, the same thing that January happened 31st. In the past. Yeah.
Like, the one that really sold me with it was, like, the dates were January 31st, when she got there and we first moved into the apartment. But the murder, she went missing on January 31st. And granted, I ain't gonna lie, if I was living in a place where it was haunted, would you stick around and try to find out, like, let me try to figure out this mystery?
If I was white, yeah.
Yeah, if I was white, yeah, for sure. Put on my Sherlock Holmes hat and magnifying glass.
Canceled.
No, I was actually, you beat me to it. I was about to say that. Let me dig to the bottom of this. So she wound up speaking to the cops, and then it wasn't until, like, August 2021 that the story started coming out more, where the cops actually got back in contact with Jody. So back in 2008, they talked to her. Uh-huh. And she said, she was like, I haven't heard from the cops since then. And then recently, they came, like, they brought her back in for an interview. It was like, hey, like, I'm Detective So-and-so. We talked before. It's a long time ago. How you doing? The cop and stuff. And then he's like, hey, I brought you in because, you know, we took your story seriously and we looked more into it and we looked up like the grid coordinates that you gave us. The cop was telling her like, hey, we actually had like this little, we actually got like a new mapping software that we started using. And even though you gave us the coordinates of 35.76 of the location, because she had told him like the location of where the girl was buried at. And it was in directions of where the house was at the time, because the house that supposedly that Colleen Stan was taken to and also Elizabeth Spahank was murdered in, the house no longer exists. Mm. It got destroyed. Trees are there. All this other stuff. And it's like just a wooded area. And so the direction that she was giving them wasn't exactly towards the house, but it's like in relation to where the house is at, to where the body is buried. And so with this new mapping software that the police had gotten, they had ran the coordinates and they realized something was off with the dirt, I guess, or the area was disturbed or something at one time. And they said, like, hey, like, based off our mapping software, you gave us, like, a pretty good location of where a body might be at or whatnot. And you told us, like, 35.76, and our mapping software told us, like, 35.77. So pretty much on point of a location of a possible body's at. Now, they're still currently looking for the body in that area, but it's all leading up to shit. The house used to be there. Now this is where the body might be at. But like I said, she said 35.76. The mapping software said 35.77, where like I guess like the direction she gave was like northeast from the house or some shit like that. And they was able to get like a good direction of, holy shit, how the hell did she know that? Because she had no idea that this is what he was investigating. She really didn't even know, like, she didn't even know the area like that. This is just what she saw in her dreams. And even the cop was like, I got chills when he was telling me this, when we discovered this, because this is almost spot on the location of what you told us back then.
That is crazy.
From your dreams. And she was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if we, like, what this is, and we just could, like, understand, like, the paranormal stuff or whatever. But it's like me and my daughter, we just had this weird connection with, you know, with Elizabeth when she was in the apartment. And then going forward, we try to let it go. And then we want to help out, solve the mystery. And
that's so crazy, it's crazy, man. Crazy
shit, man. So they're still currently looking for the body, but they are in the right area. The cops are, like, definitely on it. Like, yeah, this is the area where we need to be at. They're going to keep going. The family members of Elizabeth Spahank was actually... Well, here's the thing, man. So the guy Cameron, he got sentenced to 104 years, but right now his ass is like in some kind of psychiatric center, and then he's up for parole, and this motherfucker might be back out on the street within the next couple years. He's still alive. He's within his 60s, I think, like in his mid to late 60s. He's still alive, and then the sister of Elizabeth Spahank was like, yo, he doesn't need to be back on the street, but she felt like her sister never got justice because even though Colleen Stan, the girl that escaped, you know, got all the attention of the court case and all that, you know, Elizabeth kind of got, like, swept under the rug. And some of the cops, there's still dedicated cops out there trying to get to the bottom of it. But as far as media-wise, it's kind of like an open and shut case for the media. They're not worrying about Elizabeth, who the family can never, they have no closure for it. It's like, we never had a funeral. We had a memorial. Not the same as a funeral. We didn't bury no body, no nothing. And then they still want closure for it. So, yeah, it's a bittersweet ending, man, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it, but, yeah, so Dave Wampa locking his ass up. And also, too, Janice Hooker, his wife, never served a day in prison, which I was not cool with it, but I guess the cops had to cut a deal with her to get more information because they gave her an amnesty over everything. She claims that she's being held hostage and over the safety of her kids. But I've watched a lot of this murder shit before, and this is the first time women try to jump out the window with that type of defense. Because sometimes, too, you might find out, shit, they were the worst ones in a damn situation of kidnapping, of, like, couples that kidnap people and rape them. And mainly it would be women that kidnap, but rape them and murder them. Usually some of the women in those situations are usually, like, the most diabolical ones. They're usually some of the worst of the worst. But I guess they just wanted to pin it on somebody and they needed information. And they
So what would be like the whole story behind apartment 14?
So apartment 14. So I guess like shit don't move there. Because I guess like whoever moves there is like, because like the old man was saying before that I was walking his dogs, like, man, I've been there for 25 years. Don't nobody stay there long.
Okay, so like something paranormal is happening with apartment 114 114.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And girl is, and it was all because a girl went missing after being kidnapped by her getting into an argument with a boyfriend, being kidnapped on the side of the road. And usually it's like, I always heard stories of like with supernatural stories of if they're never not buried or you can't find the body, it's like they're doomed to wander the earth. They're either trying to communicate, trying to get attention. I remember the movie Ghost was really good at like, I mean,
with Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, it shows like how you operate as a ghost to move objects. You kind of have to like put your feelings into it. It's not like just like a, dude, you can't just knock shit over like willy nilly.
You know what's crazy?
And you have to be angry to do it too.
Yeah, you know what's crazy today? Like what I did. You know, I was feeling lazy, right? And then like the Roku controller was a little bit too far from my reach. And then I was trying to summon that shit, right? I was trying to bring it over. I was trying to use like the force and shit. And I was getting like frustrated. I was like, it's not happening. But then, you know, I'm trying to summon that shit. It wouldn't happen. And I just grabbed it. And then I just started laughing. And then I was like, I should tell the story.
I feel like everybody's tried that at least once.
Yeah.
Like when something's out of reach, I'm like,
I started yelling at that shit.
You're like, come on. Sometimes I'm like, I'm pretty sure I've done this as an adult, but I've seen like something out of reach that I can't get to, and I'm like, I try to use like my mind as an extension. Mm-hmm. I read in X-Men comic books how Jean Grey described it. It's like, imagine yourself getting up to go pick it up, but you're not doing it. Mm. And you're bringing it to yourself. Is that you have to separate your mind from your body.
Yeah, it might be right.
But it's like some trippy shit they explain in X-Men comic books. I was like, holy shit.
That might be right. I was watching like this guy on YouTube, right? He was posting like videos about him reading like certain books, to where he was saying like he became like a different person after reading all these books. And one of the books was one of the books that I read, the Kabbalion, with the seven hermetic principles of like life and all that shit.
Yeah, we're talking about it.
And I gave it away to Terry, but I want that book back. Like, I want it right now. Like, I want it back.
Were you at Terry?
But he was showing all his books, like, he read. But, like, long story short, like, he was doing these crazy-ass videos where he was doing, like, push-ups, right? Mm. But he'll do push-ups, then he completely push off the ground, and his body's completely, like, floating, like, in space.
What?
Like, he's levitating while he's doing a push-up. But if you look at his face, it looks like he's really pushing that shit.
Mm.
You know, like he's like, you see the veins popping out of his head. And then people are thinking like, yeah, you're using like green screen. There's no way you can do that.
But the effort.
But what he started doing, like he's like, all right, you got to think it's like green screen. I'm going to do this like in front of like grass, green grass.
Mm.
And then tell me if you guys can fucking, if you think I'm faking it, you know. So he does the same shit. He does a push up. And he completely, like, pushes off the grass. No hands on the grass. And he's completely, like, levitated, like, push-up position with no hands.
Mm.
But he's, like, you can tell, like, he's trying to hold his position. Because his body and everything, his face, like, it's like
some type of effort.
Yeah, right? Like, it's pushing so much effort. Like, it's trying to hold the effort the whole time. Like, his face is shaking and everything. No hands on the ground. And then that's when it breaks.
Mm.
And then people are saying, like, okay, is this real? Then he was like, if you guys want to learn like how I started coming across like this knowledge, he shows them all the books that he read, right? All the books that he read, like from like different people and shit. And the one of the main books that he read was one of my books.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, to me, I was like, this is one of the books I was like, it's a special book. To me, it's like a golden book. Not a lot of people like come across books like this.
Mm.
But when he showed that book, I was like, oh, shit. This is when I was thinking maybe he might know something.
Yeah.
Because that book was, to me, it's really special, to where I was like, I don't think we understand, like as humans, understand like the value, the information in this book. Mm. And then I gave it away to Terry, but I need it back now.
Hit him up, man.
Because hey, I borrowed a book from him, like a Edgar Cayce book.
Yeah.
It was just, it's a strong book too. But we traded like during our like trip.
Oh, you guys did like a book trade?
Yeah, like
dude, I did that, and I'm like, damn, I got my book back.
We did a book trade at like where I did the Helen trip.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm trying to go to Helen next month, man. I'm trying to. I need to ask you how'd you guys like reserve like a cabin or something?
Bob did all that, but
okay. I'll ask Bob then.
Yeah,
I'm trying to go for like Valentine's Day. I'm trying to set up something. I need a cabin.
I think we signed the book too. So like, if you go to the same cabin, make sure you sign the book.
Oh, they have one of them books for like cabins. Yeah. Oh, the shit. Okay.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, but that's it for that story, guys. That is it.
Yeah, we're at like an hour. A good shit.
I don't know how we did that.
And we ran two episodes in one night.
Oh, I'm tired too, dude. Shit.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Hell yeah.
Two episodes in one night.
Never been done before.
It's the first time we've done this. Maybe we can do it later, more, so we could have like more time to do like whatever.
Other shit, yeah. Stack up some episodes. All
right, guys. Thank you guys for joining us. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, comment, give us that 5 stars.
Hell yeah.
Peace out. Adios. We'll catch you guys next week.
All right. See you guys.
Adios.